Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Laura Rutledge, and we've got all kinds of fun stuff for you today. Marcus Spears is here, Mina Kimes is here, and Ryan Clark, and there's so much to get to. We're going to hear from Cam Newton, guys. He's talking about being the team captain with the Patriots and much more. That's coming up later, but we've got our top stories to get to right away off the top. The Saints and the Titans are battling it out for Jadeveon Clowney's services. His asking price has been high. He's lowered it to around $17 million recently, but time is of the essence here with the season upon us. Diana Russini with a live report in moments. And the Washington football team has released veteran running back Adrian Peterson. Peterson spent the past 2 years with Washington, leading the team in rushing over that time with 1,900-plus yards and 12 touchdowns. He said the release was a surprise to him. He definitely wants to keep playing. You see Jerry Jones on your screen there. He said today there would be no angst between him and the players when it comes to protesting social justice issues. Why make that statement now? Marcus Spears, who played for Jerry Jones, has the answer. Back to our top story today, though. Jadeveon Clowney, a hot commodity if you're the Saints or the Titans. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel was asked about their interest today. Take a listen.
Teresa, I'm going to try to save you guys all a lot of time and airspace here, but you know, I know there's going to be a lot of questions here about Jadeveon Clowney. We have an offer out. We've been in contact with Jadeveon, with JD, and his agent. So that's all I can report, and that's all I really know. So hope that helps.
As you might imagine, Saints head coach Sean Payton was also asked about it. He said he wouldn't address any player not on his team. So for more, let's bring in our NFL insider Diana Russini into the conversation. Diana, you've been speaking to both the Titans and the Saints about their pursuit of Clowney. What's the latest that you're hearing?
Yeah, there's three involved, actually, right? You have the Clowney camp, you have the Titans, and you have the Saints. And it's been quite the little roller coaster here. The Saints have had their eyes on Clowney for quite a while here. The Titans, they've been sitting back just watching, waiting to see what his market could be. So here we are now. I'm told that the New Orleans Saints are sending a member of their staff into Houston, where JD lives, to meet with him face-to-face, to have a conversation about why he needs to play in New Orleans. The Titans not doing all of that. They just have their players reaching out to him, their head coach, their GM, all in contact with Clowney. But as of right now, I'm told that Clowney is being advised to perhaps sit back and wait to the end of cut day, which is 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday afternoon. And Laura, the thinking here is perhaps there are some teams outside the Titans and the Saints that could get some more money through these cuts and then find that cash to give Clowney to get him to the number he's looking for. I heard you say about $17 million. That is not a number that I'm hearing that's even close to what the Titans and the Saints are looking to offer. If anything, it's more around that $11, $12 million one-year deal. Both teams looking to offer him 1 year, but in the end, it's going to come down to Clowney's decision. Does he want to play most likely for the Saints or the Tennessee Titans?
Great stuff from Diana. You will keep us updated as you hear more. It's really interesting, too, the fact that he's got to get through COVID protocol and so much more of that as this all plays out. So, Mina, now two teams are locked in a race for Clowney's services. You've got the Titans and you've got the Saints. He's a former number one overall pick in 2014. He only, though, has 32 sacks in his career. How good is he?
He is a fascinating player. He's like an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a guy who just doesn't get a lot of sacks. And I say that as someone who thinks sacks are a highly imperfect way to evaluate pass rushers. ESPN has a great metric called pass rush win rate, which looks at guys how often they beat their blocks in 2.5 seconds or less. Jadeveon ranked fifth last year, better than Joey Bosa, for example. And yet, even though he's disruptive, even though he is incredible against the run, we've seen some of these highlights, at a certain point, your job is to get to the quarterback. And as you said, 32 over the course of a career, that's how much elite pass rushers get in two seasons these days. And I believe his market reflects that.
Listen, first of all, don't y'all put me after Nina ever again. that was just way too smart for me to follow. She hit me with so many numbers, like, she almost convinced me to say something different than I was about to say. But here's Jadeveon Clowney's problem. He's a flash player. Like, what do we remember most about Jadeveon Clowney? You remember bowl season, South Carolina versus Michigan. He comes off the edge. He crushes the running back, picks it up with one hand, right? And then he runs off the field. And we like, hey, bro, don't even play college ball next year. And then you see some of the same things against the San Francisco 49ers in San Fran last year. There's a sack by Jay Reid. Jay Reid gets the ball on the ground. He scoops it up and he scores. And he dominates through most of that game. We've seen him show up sometimes and be that player that we remember watching on ESPN returning kickoffs in high school. But we don't see it consistently enough. He hasn't been that player day in and day out like we see of the Watts, like we see of the Donalds. And that's why you find yourself in this position where two teams are talking about giving him way below his asking price for 1 year. He was the number one overall pick, but the production doesn't always match the talent sometimes. You get the flash, but you don't get the consistency.
And RC, to that point, man, the worst thing you can be, as I've been told by a lot of coaches, are flash player. And they want consistency. They want to know, how are you going to impact the game week in and week out? And unfortunately, I know Mina's stat, and which is a very important one, the win rate. But you are when you're the first overall pick and you have all of these enormous things about you coming out of college, you have to get the quarterback on the ground. We don't laud over Aaron Donald because he wins pass rushes. We laud because he sacks the quarterback. We don't laud over J.J. Watt because he wins pass rushes. We laud because he sacks the quarterback. And coming from a guy that ain't sacked the quarterback at all during his career, I know playing next to D. Ware, he could have won all the rushes he wanted to win when we were in Dallas, and nobody would have paid a damn attention to him, and he wouldn't have been a future Hall of Famer if he wouldn't have got quarterbacks on the ground. Jadeveon Clowney market in reality is not where he wants it to be because he doesn't have 70 sacks. He only has 32.
Yeah, Marcus, I feel like I've seen you sack some people, so don't sell yourself short. RC, I want to go to you with this one. When you think about the Titans and the Saints, which is the better fit for either the team and then also for Clowney?
Listen, if you're a team and you're the New Orleans Saints, that's big time. If you get him, you add him to Jordan, you add him to Davenport, and now he doesn't have to be that consistent player, right? You're good enough with DeMario Davis in that secondary where Jadeveon Clowney can just flash, where he can come out and win you two or three games with huge plays. But if you're the Tennessee Titans, he becomes your guy. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you build some of that 3-4 around what he does well. You move him in positions to be matched up against lesser pass rusher because he will be the most talented guy up front on your defense. So if you want to go win, you go to the Saints, Jadeveon Clowney. You want to go star and get some of this loot that you're asking for, you go to Tennessee.
You know, Tennessee definitely needs him, or you're 100% right. Pass rush is the biggest hole on their roster, which is why they've been linked with Clowney for so long. They were actually they had the second lowest pressure rate last year of any team, next to Miami. You never want to be in company with Miami. But if he goes there, Ryan, he's going to get double teamed a lot. Whereas if he's in New Orleans, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to go after the quarterback, maybe get some of those stats that have been missing throughout the course of his career. And that team is going to be so stacked. Like, if I'm a running back, I'm just going to turn around. I'm not even going to play the Saints because, you know, he's not been terrific against as a pass rusher. He is an incredible run defender, and that is an incredible run defense already.
Yeah, to your point, Mina, the Saints defense has been so dominant against the run already. New Orleans hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 38 consecutive games. That's tied for sixth longest. On this day 1 year ago, Zeke ended his holdout and agreed to that $90 million deal with the Cowboys. But last season, Ezekiel Elliott posted a career low in touches per game, even though he still finished with the second most scrimmage yards in the NFL. The Cowboys have a 21-7 record when Elliott gets at least 25 touches since drafting him in 2016. So will the workload increase with a new head coach? Mike McCarthy addressed that this week.
You know, at the end of the day, the running back position is very important to your offense because you still need to run the football to be successful as a football team in today's NFL. But you know, when you have a player like Zeke, I think the focus will be clearly on touches. You know, Zeke needs to touch the football, and he will in this offense, and he's definitely a primary focus.
Mark, Marcus, I remember at times last year where so many people were talking about Zeke needing to get the ball more. And you heard the numbers there about why you would want that to happen. So do the Cowboys this season need to make Zeke the focal point of this offense?
The conventional answer is yes, but we have to explain why. Like, game plans matter. I sat in defensive rooms for 9 years preparing to play against good backs, good receivers, good quarterbacks, and you know that they want to be featured. You know that that's a part of the team's success. But the bottom line is this. There will be games when Zeke rushes 40 to 50 times. There'll be games when he rushes 25 times. There is talent around this roster where you want to create matchup problems. Zeke and this offensive line, in the beginning of his career up until now, this offensive line has been the focal point. Zeke has been a devastating runner, and he deserves all that he's gotten as far as how we talk about him. But the focal point would be a mistake to say that leading into the season, because it's built on game plan, and it's also built on how you can expose the defense that you're going against.
RC, what you think?
Game plan's main plan. Do you think when people was going to play Michael Jordan, they knew Michael Jordan was going to get the ball? They still got buckets, right? You feed the best player. Guess what? When Zeke had his most carries and his most yards, they were 13-3. The year he had the second most carries and the second most yards, they were 10-6. Last year, Dak Prescott goes off. He's ascending. Look at all the yards. Let's watch the playoffs from our house, because we can't beat the Philadelphia Eagles and a depleted team. This team needs to start with Ezekiel Elliott, make teams play him, and throw the balls outside. Okay, and then here, I got another one for you. Mike McCarthy. Do you know why Mike McCarthy is the coach in Dallas? Because he got fired from Green Bay. Because he started with a running game, and then he moved to, I have all-world Aaron Rodgers, we gonna let him throw. Guess what Mike McCarthy got to sit home last year and do? Watch the Green Bay Packers go to the playoffs, be 13-3, and finish in the NFC Championship. Why? Because the new coach said, I'm going to hand the ball to Aaron Jones and give the ball to Aaron Jones, and he going to get me 19 tubs, and it don't matter that Aaron Rodgers only got 24 touchdowns. Running the ball in this league still works. Unless you have that alien monster that's playing quarterback in Kansas City, you better turn around and hand that ball off and make some people play balanced defense, or you're going to be right where Dak Prescott, Jason Garrett, them was last year, which was watching the playoffs with me. Okay, and now Mina finna give you some numbers as to why I'm wrong. I already see how this show works. I feel set up because I only work on Fridays.
Yeah, well, listen, Mina's actually having some technical difficulties, so she will give you some numbers that will school you momentarily. But first of all, we're going to go to Marcus for a second here, because, Marcus, I got to ask about the fact that they've got weapons on this offense. They've got C.D. Lamb. They've got some other people in the receiving core that you would think they would want to use to keep the offense balanced. Obviously, RC is talking about the defensive side, but they want their offense to be balanced.
Spit that game, Ailes. You know what? That's the beauty of you and what you do and how good you are at your job. Because you spit that out like an analyst would, because you can analyze this thing. Let me go back at RC. I understand all of that. You want to have an identity as a football team. You want a blueprint. You want to hand it off to Zeke. But RC, if they put 9 in the box, throw the ball. Throw the damn ball. If you got a team where you can Amari Cooper is out there with a cornerback that ain't covered nobody for 12 weeks, throw the damn ball to Amari Cooper and make him the focal point that Sunday. It depends on what you need to do. I agree with you. The problem with Dallas last year a lot was they did get away from Zeke too much. And we all have the Monday morning quarterback blues when you start talking about they should have ran Zeke, they should have fed the beast. Yes, when we clearly see that. But you still have to game plan for advantages and things you can exploit against defenses. Usually that's Zeke, and if it is, give it to him 1,000 times this season. But if not, don't force it. Throw the ball to Mark Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, Blake Jarwin, and let them expose their matchup.
Hey, as you make that sound effect that sounds like the yard work going on outside of Marcus's house, the Cowboys went 3-5 down the stretch of last season. In those games, Ezekiel Elliott eclipsed just 25 touches just 2 times. Okay, lots of news around the league to get to. Let's get you going with some quick reads. Haha, Clinton Dix released by the Cowboys. Ryan, did you see this one coming?
Listen, absolutely. HaHa Clinton Dix has been declining, whether it was Chicago, Washington, or Green Bay. He hasn't been playing well. The reason he was on this one-year deal is because he hadn't played hard, and he hasn't made the plays that he did in year two or three in Green Bay. So this is a move that you could have expected. They have some young, good talent in the secondary. Dallas is moving on.
Earl Thomas, still a free agent, Marcus, with Clinton Dix out of Dallas. You think he ends up there still?
Well, speaking of what Ryan said, HaHa Clinton Dix stock definitely declined when Earl Thomas became a free agent, because I've been telling y'all since day one Dallas gonna try to go get him. This opens that opportunity up for them to insert him in the line and make sure that they are a playoff team and they can go deep with Earl Thomas. This Earl Thomas we're talking about.
You might be right, Mark.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You got to see these photos from TMZ Sports of Jets rookie Mekhi Becton and his newest purchase, a $175,000 chain that says big ticket, admit one. That got us thinking. Marcus, what was your first big purchase when you made it into the league? When you made it big, what did you buy?
Well, I was a dummy. I bought a car I couldn't afford. That was what I did. I bought a Mercedes Benz S600, and I couldn't afford it. So I thought I could. I thought I had enough money to buy it. And when I went and got it, I felt great about it. It was a great feeling. And then I realized I probably shouldn't have did that because I ain't got no more money.
Ryan, what about you?
Well, his says the big ticket. The only ticket I could afford with my first NFL check was a ticket to the movies. And I couldn't bring a date. It was only me. My first check after taxes was $684.34 because as an undrafted free agent, the New York Giants thought I was worth $1,000 to get into minicamp. And you know what? I thought I was rich. I thought I had a ton of money. I put that money in the – I sent that check to my mom. I put that money in the bank. I said, Mama, we didn't made it. And so that was the first thing I got was a bank account.
Mina, you've made it big in life. What's some big purchase that you made?
Oh, I also went undrafted, unsurprisingly. Didn't make a lot of money out of college. I'll tell you what, I lived in New York City, Laura, so it all went to rent, and I was in a bunk bed. So that's my situation.
I can feel you. I didn't have any money for anything RC. Except rent and a little bit of broccoli. What were you going to say? Yo, Marcus?
RC, how much that check was?
$684.34.
How much was the... That boy couldn't even buy an iPhone.
Huh? Okay, we're moving on. All right, Cam Newton was voted the team captain. Bill Belichick says he won't name any starters at this point, so he's not officially saying that Captain Cam is the starting quarterback for the Patriots. But Cam Newton did speak today. You see him out there at practice. He talked about what it means to him to be a captain on this team.
You know, words can't even explain, you know, my feelings. When I heard, you know, I know a person may kind of see or kind of sense like it was almost as expected, but not for me though. And it was just something that was just like rewarding to hear. But at the same time, now the real work kind of starts for me, you know, knowing that I have to prove it each and every day. And I know I have people that's looking, you know, to me to kind of direct the team in the right way.
feel like we're seeing just so much genuineness coming out of Cam Newton every time he talks. When you think about this, that he was named, RC, captain of this Patriots team, did it surprise you that it happened after such a short time in that locker room?
You know what? It doesn't surprise me because these were things that I felt like I knew about Cam Newton. I knew he was about work. I know the Patriot organization is about work. And if you listen to McCourty and if you listen to Belichick talk about what he's done since being in that building, this goes in line with the things that they have said. Now, I will say this. When you are named the captain, it's a huge deal. It's the most important and the biggest accomplishment, individual accomplishment of my 13 years playing in the NFL. And when you're named the captain of the New England Patriots, I don't care what nobody says. You're not the captain of that team. You're the captain of the NFL. It's the best franchise in football, the winningest franchise of the last two decades, and you're replacing Tom Brady. So when your teammates vote you captain of that team, that's a huge deal.
I know it's like crazy to think, and you just heard Ryan say it, but the respect you get from your peers is what you long for as a pro football player. I think in a lot of team sports, we all work here at ESPN. The respect of our peers is as important as our bosses and the executives, because those people are, you're responsible for them. That's what, when you say somebody is a captain, that's what you're saying. Hey, you responsible for representing not only how we do things, but what we say and what people see when you are out. So for Cam Newton to get that, it's not surprising to me. His reputation precedes him. We heard nothing but good things in Carolina. He played for Ron Rivera in Carolina, who's a tough coach who demands respect out of his players, but also gives them an opportunity to be who they are. We see Bill Belichick doing it. The great ones understand who to promote and put in leadership positions. Awesome for Cam.
Let's get to the AFC East overall, guys. And according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Bills now have a slightly better chance to win the AFC East than the Patriots. New England's won the division in NFL record 11 straight seasons. The Bills haven't won since the AFC East since 1995. So when you see those numbers, and Mina, you know, we're fans of FPI here, but did they get it right with the Bills winning the division?
I think they did, Laura, and I hate saying that on camera, and I can feel like a chill passing through my body as I pick against the Patriots, and I know I'll regret it, but here's why. It's not because of Cam Newton. I actually think the Patriots offense is going to be a little bit better this year. It's because of the sheer amount of talent that walked out of that door on defense. A great defense that was probably going to regress a bit anyways and get a little bit less lucky. But just look at some of these names, Kyle Van Noy, Danny Shelton, Jamie Collins, and some of the players who opted out, too, Patrick Chung. I am basically the president of the Dante Hightower fan club. We meet on Tuesdays. You got to bring snacks. To lose him as you go into this season with so many young players who are trying to learn an offense, that is such a key loss because he is defense. He is the quarterback of that defense, and I think that's going to affect them in a big way, especially the first half of the season.
Everything that Mina said was correct, but let's give the Buffalo Bills a little credit here. The Buffalo Bills made it to the playoffs last year. You look for Josh Allen to ascend or take another step. He was very bad against man-to-man coverage last year. Part of that is people not creating space. If you've ever watched Stephon Diggs play offense, he creates space. And then defensively, you have Ed Oliver up front, Edmonds in the middle, a great safety tandem in Hyde and Poyer, in the back end, and Tre'Davious White, who to me was one of the top two cornerbacks in the NFL, along with Gilly last year. And so when you can do the things that they do defensively, Josh Allen being the type of running threat in the red zone and late in games that can win you games, I think the Buffalo Bills would have been the favorite, or at least my favorite, even if Tom Brady was still in New England. And so for me, it's the Buffalo Bills. It's been the Buffalo Bills all offseason, and it will continue to be as the season goes on.
Hey, Marcus, last week you were talking about the Bills as being the winners of that division. And then there was this moment earlier today where I saw you like changing your mind. So what happened there? Why did you change your mind? The Bills no longer the favorites to win for you.
Oh, damn, Laura. You gonna put me on blast like that? I was going to try not to remind people that I picked the Bills last week. But listen, this is what happened. All right. Obviously, Cam became the starter. Cam became a captain. And I went crazy when Cam Newton signed with New England, saying Cam was going to be the comeback player of the year. He was going to have a great offense. This was the season that Cam needed to ascend himself to making sure he gets another contract so he can further his career. Maybe not in New England, but somewhere else. I'm taking the Patriots because of Cam Newton and more so Bill Belichick. And I get what Mina is saying, and I understand the talent of the Bills team that Ryan is talking about, but this is still Bill Belichick. This is still a situational genius. And when I say situational, sometimes New England's defense hasn't been good overall, but in the red area, stopping people, making people kick field goals. I don't think he's going to lose that. I'm taking the Patriots.
All right, yeah, last season the Patriots posted the highest defensive efficiency rating in the NFL, but only they have 49% of those guys coming back, those defensive snaps from last season. Big news this morning is Adrian Peterson was released by the Washington football team. Peterson spent the last two seasons with Washington where he led them in rushing. The 35-year-old said the move came as a surprise to him and that he wants to continue playing. Now, Peterson may be out in Washington, but his place in NFL history is already solidified. This season, he passed Jim Brown and Walter Payton on the all-time rushing touchdowns leaderboard. He now trails only Hall of Famers Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Marcus Allen. For more on the fantasy impact of this, let's bring in Field Yates. And Field, with Peterson out, give us the name of a running back who could get the extra touches in Washington.
Yeah, Laura, we're talking about over 200 carries that have gone away in D.C., and my focus right now is on Antonio Gibson. He's a rookie out of Memphis, and he had just 33 career college carries during his time there in Memphis. That being said, he's the most explosive player in this backfield. He's been working all over the field for them so far, a lot with the starters in D.C. during training camp. I think the reality is you can only pick one Washington running back. For me, it's Antonio Gibson. And speaking of crowded backfields, if you haven't heard, the Bucs have signed everybody but me this offseason, including Leonard Fournette. I think the situation that I just mentioned with DC applies here in Tampa. You can plant your flag on one running back in this backfield, whether it's Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones or LeSean McCoy. For me, it's Leonard Fournette because the touchdown should be there for the Buccaneers this offseason, or this season. Perhaps Fournette pounds in 10 or 12. And then one of the big question marks going into drafts right now is what to do with Alvin Kamara of the Saints, who of course wants a new contract. No deal has yet been reached. I would just advise people this. At pick 4, game on for Alvin Kamara. If he slides all the way to pick 8, it's one of the values of your draft. I still believe a deal gets done between Kamara and the Saints, a guy who certainly has earned it based off his first 3 seasons.
Now, as we approach week 1, one of the major storylines will be how and when players decide to protest the social injustices happening around our country. Cowboys defensive lineman Tyrone Crawford has been asked if the team had been advised on the situation and said, quote, "We definitely have the green light on all that." He didn't indicate who gave them the green light, but Jerry Jones was on the radio today and addressed it. So take a listen to this.
We all do understand where I stand relative to the national anthem and the flag. On the other hand, I really do recognize our times we're in. I recognize the ability of the Cowboys to use the visibility and interest we have to support the players. And so it will come down in a way that gives us a chance to move the ball forward, move the ball positively forward. The word is be as effective as we can, maximizing this visibility of the Cowboys. Also recognize the times we're in and the need for social justice.
So you may be thinking that those comments differ from Jones' public comments back in 2017 when he said, quote, "If there's anything that is disrespectful to the flag, then we will not play. Understand? We will not. If we are disrespecting the flag, we will not play, period." So, Marcus, you played for the Cowboys, you know Jerry, and you saw those comments that he said back in 2017 and then the ones that he said today. What has changed in that time?
The climate. It's easier. It's more comfortable. It's not something that you have to go out and fight the masses, because that side of it is louder now as far as people demanding social change and justice. So for Jerry Jones, he said it. My mind hasn't changed about the flag and disrespecting the flag. It's never been about that. And I think that's been the issue since the beginning when the message was facilitated throughout. all of the owners thinking that it was the guys that didn't come out and say anything. So the bottom line is this, Els. Nothing has changed about how Jerry Jones feels about the kneeling outside of the fact that the country has changed and the culture is changing. And the NFL has initiatives now to make sure social justice is at the forefront. And to say you green light the players means if in your heart of hearts you've legitimately changed and saw a different side of this and you say players go forth with your initiatives, great. And that's a wonderful message. But I don't think that has changed for Jerry Jones. I think now the climate just makes it more comfortable and convenient to allow players, quote unquote, to use their platforms for social justice.
The NFL is exactly where it was 3 and 4 years ago when it comes to protests, when it comes to social justice. It was 31 teams that didn't come out publicly and say that you couldn't protest or you wouldn't play. And then there was Jerry Jones. Now we have 31 teams that have come out in support of social justice, that have met with their team and tried to move things forward in their communities. Even the Baltimore Ravens saying that they have some initiatives they would like to get done. Pete Carroll speaking so eloquently on what you have to do as white people in order to help. And then there's Jerry Jones. There's Jerry Jones saying, hey, if you do it now, ain't no angst. Y'all ain't gonna get fired, but y'all know how I feel, right? Jerry Jones is still defiant. But you can only be as defiant as you can afford to be. And that doesn't mean as you can afford to be as your team is worth $5.5 billion. That means as you can afford to be and not have to get pushback. Because, see, now if you come out and say, if you do protest or if I feel like it's against the anthem, which it never was, then if he says that now he has an issue. Now people can push back because society has changed. So Jerry Jones is still walking the line as far as he can possibly be for saying, I support my players and change is needed. He still hasn't said that. He still isn't going to say that. He's going to toe the line on the other side as much as he can to remain that one team that's still not a part of the other 32.
Ryan, I agree. I don't need Jerry Jones to lie to me and pretend like he's changed his mind or evolved or develop an understanding of the protests and their intent if he has not, which clearly is where he is. We know where he stands. It's the same place he stood several years ago. Even as you mentioned, other coaches and figures around the NFL, heck, the NFL itself has changed. But I am heartened by something Marcus said, which is while Jerry Jones has stayed in the same place, the world has moved, right? He is now the odd man out here. And that's why he's not saying what he really believes, or at least, you know, he's trying to toe the line, as you guys described. I find that heartening, frankly, that he's now the odd man out and that he no longer feels comfortable saying that he objects to the protest or he's going to tell the players what to do. He did say something that struck me, you know, about wanting to find actionable, you know, things that they can do, the team can do to use their platform. I have a suggestion for him, if he hasn't already. Let people vote in your stadium. You want fans in there, and there's a big voting initiative across sports. That's something you can do.
Very well said by all of you. It's going to be really interesting to see exactly how the Cowboys do decide to protest and how Jerry responds to that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
New on NFL Live from our own Field Yates. The Jaguars have placed running back Rykel Armstead on the reserve COVID list. It's the second time Armstead has been placed on the list this season. He was the possible starter in their backfield following the release of Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars, the only team projected to lose every game this season, according to ESPN's FPI. We'll get to more Fournette momentarily, but here's a look at the best projected offenses for this upcoming season, according to ESPN's FPI. No surprise, the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes take the top spot. The Saints, once again, projected to be the top offense in the NFC for the second straight season. And the Ravens and Cowboys round out the top four. The Buccaneers come in at number 13 on the index's offensive rankings, but they did just add another playmaker to their offense in Leonard Fournette. The number four overall pick from the 2017 NFL draft signed that one-year deal with Tampa Bay and joins a crowded backfield already featuring Ronald Jones and LeSean McCoy. So that leads me to ask you guys, who will have the best offense in the NFC this season? Mina, you get the first crack at this. Best offense in the NFC, who are you going with?
I gotta go with Dallas, all right? Because they had the second most efficient offense in football last year. Marcus, I'm picking Dallas. You should be happy. And there's no reason to think they should be worse this year. They have three wide receivers who could be number ones in other offenses. I think Michael Gallup's one of the most underrated players in football. CeeDee Lamb, not a number one this year, but he gets to come into that offense. Dak Prescott was the best quarterback in the league last year when the Cowboys were in 11 with three wide receivers. They're extremely talented across the board. Second year with offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. I don't see why you can pick against them.
Oh, my goodness, Mina. Are you, dude, it's Tampa. I mean, let's be honest, y'all. First of all, the GOAT is playing quarterback. That's number one. Last year, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards, also throwing 30 interceptions. So that means that the guys around him are extremely good as well. I think about Mike Evans, Godwin, you bring Gronk over. I think O.J. Howard can take over as that athletic tight end that Tom Brady has thrived with throughout his career. When you think about adding Leonard Fournette to a box that will not be stacked, along with Jones, these dudes have everything you need. We talk about balance. We talk about being able to exploit what other defenses are trying to do. We talk about matchup nightmares all over the field. Might I add, Mike Evans 6'5", O.J. Howard 6'5". 6'5", 6'6". We're talking about dudes that when you get in the red zone, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not 70% scoring in the red area, Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich need to be fired. This is the best offense because of the firepower, and the guy that's at the helm is going to make sure he takes care of the football. Tampa Bay.
That sounds really good, Marcus. And I mean, you did mention that the GOAT is quarterbacking in Tampa. But you know who the GOAT is chasing? He's chasing Mr. Record Books. He's chasing Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. And they will have the best offense in the NFC.
Chasing?
Just like they usually do. Listen, Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been at this for years, right? 15 years of just carving people up. Now you add Emmanuel Sanders to that, who is one of the best route runners in the NFL, to a guy that's the most accurate passer we've ever seen. And Michael Thomas catches every pass. Every time you throw the ball to him, it doesn't matter. He catches it. Great catch radius, runs great routes, big bodies. And now also Cook at the tight end. That's a huge part of this team that people don't talk about. Then the Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill. And I get it. Oh, he's 6'5". Oh, he's 6'5". Oh, he's 6'5". That'll work if we was playing basketball, Marcus, but we are playing football. And the football players that will be playing in the Superdome in New Orleans will carve people up. They will cut people up. And at the end of the game, you're going to look at the scoreboard and it's going to be lit up. I'm not just focusing on you, but talking about the Dallas Cowboys with Mina would not be fair. It's the Saints by a long shot.
I felt like you believed it, and I was believing what you were saying. But then when you mentioned Taysom Hill, I knew you were just reaching, Ryan. I knew you were just reaching there. You know, I love both these offenses are very good, okay? But with Drew Brees, you got a quarterback who struggled at the end of last season. With Tom Brady, you got a quarterback who you don't know he's going to be coming into this season. With Dallas, you've got not only continuity, I mentioned all the skilled players.
What?
You also have a very, very good offensive line. I really, you can't poke holes in this Dallas offense. Mina, you just can't.
Mina, Dallas has a quarterback that Dallas ain't sure about. Think about that.
Yeah, that's, you said they're wrong.
Drew Brees faded. We don't know what Tom Brady's going to be. Dallas quarterback, they don't even know what he's going to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I disagree with them.
So you can't bring that dude into this conversation.
I can't believe this.
Hey, Marcus, I want to point out.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can, but I do want to point out that RC is in Louisiana right now, so that just might have a little something to do with his Saints pick. But anyway, go ahead, Marcus.
I got you. Protect yourself. Them people crazy. I'm from there. I know we crazy. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, guys. Like, I don't care what offense y'all talking about. Y'all know who we looking forward to seeing and think going to be the best offense. I know in your heart of hearts, you thinking about Tom Brady along with that talent, and you got to be saying to yourself, it is going to be the best offense. When is the last time we saw Tom Brady fail? Miss Mina Kimes, Brady
last
wasn't
year?
All that good last year.
Like, literally last season.
Yeah, it was literally last season. All right, we got one more thing. Time for one more thing before we go. Mina Kimes, one more thing to take us out of here.
Oh, boy. Oh, so last night, I was heartened, but also a little bit reminded of my immortality when I saw Frank Gore Jr. on Twitter. And then, of course, Frank Gore, the GOAT, congratulating his son who is playing at Southern Miss. Frank Gore, you just got to hold out for 3 more years and maybe we can get a father-son duo in the NFL. He's 37. You can do it, Frank. I believe in you.
And that's definitely happening.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.